It's stimulating, mind-expanding. It's the in thing.
The world-famous
K-Rock
Fan Page
Podcast.
Welcome to the K-Rock Fan Page Podcast, where we give you an in-depth look at the history of K-Rock from a fan's perspective. I am Michael Ocellano, and my special guests are Nikki Benchi and Mike Stang of
Deeper Stills.
Let's get started with your background stories.
Well, I actually started playing cover acoustically with you. You were my neighbor, and we just got together one night and started playing a bunch of songs, and we're like, hey, why don't we just do a few gigs? And then I realized that I wanted to do it more as a job and started working more as acoustic duo, and then got into full band things, corporate events, weddings, playing at Disney, playing at Magic Mountain, playing at Knott's Berry Farm. And I was randomly put on a gig in Burbank, and Mike was also on that same gig. And so we ended up meeting that way at Burbank Bar and Grill. And it was a lot of fun. And then we started dating. We realized that we both like writing music, and I kind of showed him some songs that I had written. He showed me some stuff he wrote, and then he's just really great at coming up with melodies, and he's actually a fantastic lyricist as well. But he had, you know, a couple tracks, and I listened to them and just came up with melodies, and we both kind of worked out the lyrics, and we decided that we wanted to put out some originals this year, and with COVID, and we just wanted to get back to creating and what makes us happy as an artist. We're just really excited to release it. We've written some pretty good stuff, and I'm never that proud about anything I've written. And I'm really excited and proud of this. That's my story.
See, I think I started playing music when I was really young, maybe around like 10, I think. I started playing trumpet, and then I played that for like 3 years or so. And then my mom, she plays piano, and I took to that for a little bit. And then I don't know, somewhere around puberty, discovering weed and Soundgarden, everything got derailed. I started playing bass. I had done a lot of touring back east and, you know, from coast to coast, and I'd been in bands that had our albums distributed nationally and whatnot. At one point, I just wanted more opportunities, so I packed it up and did what everyone does and moved out here. And I just kind of hit the ground running, just trying to find gigs. And I had stayed writing on my own, and I had done some co-writes with a couple other people, but mostly it was a lot of like corporate events and weddings and cover gigs. And once Nikki and I got together and everything, we just kind of started our little songwriting team. I had a lot of songs that I had written, and like she said, she had written. And at one point we were just like, we've got all the recording stuff that we need at the apartment. We should just take it a little more serious. I think once COVID hit last year, we locked down and started doing some demos. And then towards the end of last year, we were like, oh, we've got a little bit of a catalog happening here. We should pick the ones that we're really super proud of and develop those. And that's kind of where we're at now with just releasing them one at a time. And we're really looking forward to it.
I saw the stuff you guys did. The video stuff was fantastic.
Well, thank you.
A lot of people don't realize the process behind that. They think you just go and plug in Zoom and then just record it. But you guys, I mean, it looked fantastic. The backgrounds that Nikki had, even if you guys were in different rooms in the same house, it came off phenomenal. Yeah. And the production behind it, the team, the background that you had, it was a tie-dye thing.
Oh, that was for the cover we did of
Young Lust.
Was it Young Lust or was it Blow?
We did two covers. I probably used that same backdrop for them, but we did a cover of Pink Floyd, Young Lust, and we kind of made it a little country. I know.
That was her one, actually.
Dare we do that to Pink Floyd? But but I thought it was cool.
I think it worked out, yeah.
And then we did a cover of Ed Sheeran's Blow.
We had a couple friends, our friend Evan out here, he's a great vocalist, so we brought him on board too. And that's actually one of the cool things that we've been able to do with, especially with technology these days, is I've got a lot of friends from back east that have been able to pitch songs to, like, oh, I need a drum track for this. And we have a lot of friends out here even that, like,
aren't working.
Yeah, and everyone's kind of home right now. So, you know, I've contributed my work for my friends' songs, and now they're helping us with, say, like, oh, who do we want to play guitar on this? Or who should, you know, oh, we should get so-and-so on drums because they'd be perfect for this. So it's kind of cool. We've been able to play with our best friends, really. So it's kind of a special thing.
Right. And if they're willing and able, that's a good thing, because some people can play, but they just don't have the technical know-how, so to say. Where are you from, Mike?
Well, I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, and then we lived outside of Philadelphia for a little bit, and then we went to central Pennsylvania in the Hershey-Harrisburg area.
I'm understanding the whole area now, because now I see the map with the radio things. I'm like, oh, because it's so small up there. Like, everything's so close in proximity is what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I will say I've really enjoyed being out here with a lot of the opportunity. But I can say that living back east, when I was touring more frequently, you could set up a tour and in a matter of 2 weeks hit so many different states. And it's only like a 4-hour drive. I mean, I lived 2 hours or less from New York. And, you know, so I was usually playing with a lot of artists up there. And Nashville was maybe a 10-hour drive, so you could do it in a day. So that was definitely one cool thing I didn't realize that I was going to miss until moving out here. You know, everything out there is so, you got all these states stuffed into one corner. You can tap into many more different markets that way.
Well, there's no place like California, that's for sure. So, no matter where you go, and we're in Washington, and let me tell you, as beautiful as Washington is, we don't have the sun, we don't have the proximity. People take that for granted as much as...
I know you moved.
Oh, yeah. So we got married in 2019. We planned a small wedding. We sold all our stuff. And then we wanted to do a honeymoon, which wound up turning from a 1 month into a 9 month thing. And then so while we were on our honeymoon, someone pitched a WordPress idea, which we took advantage of, which kind of led us to where we're at now. So we stayed there until February of 2020, which was last year, because we started hearing about COVID out there. One of my friends, who's like a crazy guy, sent me a message. This was in December. He's like, hey, do you know about COVID? And I was like, no, what are you talking? He's like, it's in China. I was like, well, we're in Malaysia and it's nowhere near China. I was like, this guy's crazy, because he's one of those guys that is. And then I started researching. I was like, well, let's look into this. And then there wasn't any information. And then a month later, we started hearing more about it on the news. And then January came around, and well, end of January, and it was Chinese New Year around the same time, actually. Last year, Chinese New Year isn't like regular New Year where you celebrate 1, 2, 3 days, maybe a go to Vegas or whatever. No, 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 no. They go all month long. And so by this point, we're on the last part of our honeymoon, and we started seeing like people from China coming, and they kept showing up and showing up. And I was like, well, if there's COVID, isn't anybody asking any questions or anything? And then I started doing research. And then all of a sudden that night, we heard that British Airways canceled flights from China. And we were like, oh, maybe we should take off. Because once British Airways cancels flights from somewhere, usually that's a good indicator, because the president wasn't saying anything. And, you know, and even the political stuff, we were out of the country, so we didn't know what was going on. But there was so much misinformation that we actually had to fight with the airline to get our refund, because they didn't believe us that COVID was already happening. So, hey, the best thing is now things are starting to open up. Everything that we know is all gone. Restaurants, tourism. I worked with Princess Cruises. They're all canceled. Music, bartending. I wouldn't want to work in a restaurant right now, especially with some of the people, the way they are and the mask. I think maybe things might be chilling out a little bit more, but it's tough. It's been tough for a lot of creative people.
Yeah, I think everyone's felt it differently too. Like, I mean, we have friends that will sit around and be like, oh, like we miss our shows. We miss all that and everything that comes with it. But then some of our friends, they've got children and stuff, and, you know, talking about like, well, what's it doing to the kid's mind? Like people walking around in face masks, they can't see people's emotions or whatever. And so there's just a lot of things that I think that everyone feels a little bit differently. A lot of people have found opportunity though, because anytime something comes up, there's always some kind of hidden opportunity somewhere, and there's going to be like a new normal or whatever. And I think that if you take the time to polish certain areas of your life, you can still come out of it like a better, more enlightened individual.
Correct. For the people that may be seeing the negatives, there's also positives. I'll guarantee you there's families right now that are connected, that probably play music. Remember during those times of the Great Depression, that's when a lot of those artists came out, for the vaudeville and the actors and the Bob Hopes, and a lot, they polished their craft in small ways, and someone's not going to come and take the music from your hearts. You guys know your playlist. Nikki's an encyclopedia. We know that. So it's like, yeah. No one's going to take that away from her.
It's stimulating, mind-expanding. It's the in thing. The world-famous
K-Rock Fan Page Podcast. I know from the East Coast, you guys have your own radio stations. And so what was your radio station back east? And who are your artists that you're influenced by? And the same will be for Nikki.
Back east, the radio station that, at least in Harrisburg, where I lived for a while, 105.7 The X, that was kind of the main radio station back there. And it was cool, but I think they did a lot of modern rock. Like, some of it was cool and I could connect with, but I felt like some of it was loud guitars, which is cool. I like loud. I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying, like, you know, I feel like radio stations out here maybe a little more diverse.
I didn't listen to K-Rock as much when I was younger because I was totally like into the pop scene, you know, I was like a 102.7 girl. But I definitely got more into it and as I got older and gravitated towards more rock artists. I did like the whole pop punk scene. I like Blink-182, Fall Out Boy, Green Day, stuff like that. But as far as like musical artists, I mean, I've always loved Stevie Nicks. She's always been an all-time. Don Henley, Tom Petty. Those would be my hugest influence. That I grew up singing blues and jazz. Billie Holiday was a really big one for me. Etta James, stuff like that. So I really feel like I've kind of developed like a well-rounded kind of influence because I do have some of my girl pop heroes, like, you know, Christina Aguilera, whatnot. And then we got Stevie from this other era. I really like Grace Potter. She kind of does more of like a blues rock thing. And then the Billie Holiday, it's just well-rounded. I like anyone who you can feel their emotion when they sing. Like, they don't have to technically be the perfect singer. Like, it doesn't have to be crystal clear every note for note, but I want to feel something when you sing. Like, I want to know that you're feeling that pain or you're feeling that joy or you're feeling that sadness. I want to feel it. So for me, I gravitate towards artists that can translate that through their songs. And hopefully we translate that through our stuff.
It's funny I asked you a K-Rock question because I've always seen you as connected with KLOS. And that's because of how I know you and through your mom and just the connection. Bobby Blotzer to Mark and Brian to Saddle Ranch to everything. It just was like, you're like the KLOS goddess princess. Like, it's funny you say Stevie Nicks because I always pictured you as like Stevie Nicks. It's like you've always had a Lindsey Buckingham type of guitar. And so does she though. But, you know, for better or worse, it's always been a good play. It's just I've always pictured KLOS with you. And so I always thought rock and roll with you too. Mm-hmm. So when I think, I always tell my wife, she's like KNAC, which was a station that went off the air a long time ago, but she's a rock and roll girl just like you. Later on, she encompassed K-Rock. But now it's funny because now KLOS hired all the K-Rock people and brought them over. You guys already talked about your careers when your paths crossed at Burbank. I know you guys have done a lot of stuff together. What are some of the highlights that you guys can reflect on?
We actually haven't gotten to play that many gigs together because I did a gig at Magic Mountain. And then the year that he did it, I didn't do it. So musically, we've only done a few gigs and then they've been really great. They've been fun. But I think the best thing are the songs that we're creating right now. And just musically, he inspires me and I just can write anything right now. And I think I do the same for him. So like, that's kind of the thing that I think is pretty great.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We actually do have a couple gigs booked with that. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
What about you?
What was the question? I'm a bass player. You can only expect so much. highlights of our career together.
Yeah.
Our young career together.
Our young career.
Obviously, when we first played the show together at Burbank Bar and Grill, that was fun because, I don't know, I just felt like every now and then you just jive with like a different musician or it's just like, oh, like I'm feeling whatever you're putting out. And like, I think we were definitely locked on that and the vibes were good. And then we've done a couple of acoustic shows together. And then we did do like another full band one in Anaheim. That was fun too. Kind of piggyback off of what she said and just say like, I think just we've really enjoyed the writing process together because there's times that I'll be strumming something or she'll just be like, what is that? And I'll say like, oh, I don't know. I got these chords stuck in my head. And she's like, can you lay it down? And then I'll lay it down and she'll go run an errand or something and come back and be like, okay, I was thinking about this. And like, she just kind of like lays out a melody and I'm like, all right, well, we've got to finish it now. It's like a one hand washes the other type thing. Cause like if I'm writing something and either if I get a block, she'll lay something out and it's unlocked for me again. Or you know what I mean? Or like, if I'm like, I just don't know what to do with the melody and like, she'll just lay out a hook and then it's, well, we've got it from here then. So I've just enjoyed that. Anytime you write with someone, it can be like an intimate process sometimes and you give a piece of yourself to that song. So to do it with someone you really care about is special.
It's stimulating, mind expanding. It's the in thing. The world famous
K-Rock Fan Page Podcast.
And let's talk about your new song. What's the name of it?
It's called The Other Side. It's a blues song. When we sent it to, we have a fantastic guitar solo on it, actually. And when we sent it to him, we were like, think David Gilmour. We really wanted something that was melodic and spacey and tasteful. And our guitar player's friend name is Brian Archer. He did a fantastic job on it. And I actually think it steals the whole song. Damn it. But yeah, I kind of actually wrote it. Lyrically, my idea for it was is kind of like how Pink Floyd has Dark Side of the Moon, you know, the side of the moon that no one knows about because it hasn't been explored yet. I wanted to write about a love that you don't know anything about because it's new and you've never explored it yet. So like, I don't know what this feeling is, but I want to roll with it because it feels so good, you know. So that was kind of where I came with the idea. And then I kind of wrote the hook for the chorus and then brought it to Mike. The chorus is really where it breaks through and it gets big and it's catchy. And then the verses are kind of more chill, bluesy. I get to use a little bit more my low register, which I'm an alto, so I think that's where my voice just naturally lays pretty nice. So we're excited about it. Every song we've written has been a little different. We're working on kind of like an Amy Winehouse-y vibe one right now. We had Beatles / Oasis kind of song that we've done, and a Bruno Mars kind of one. And we just want to expand our catalog and just write whatever. Like, we're not really trying to be an artist per se. We want to more just sell our music and
just put out good songs, yeah.
And we just want to put out good songs, and we are so lucky to know so many fantastic musicians. We are lucky to have so many different, like, oh, this drummer friend, he's great at the hip-hop stuff, like, let's give him this. Or, oh, this friend is really great at the pulled down jazzy stuff, let's give him this one. Or, oh, this is a rock song, let's give this one to, you know. So we kind of are really lucky where we have all these different musicians from all the years that both of us have been playing and in bands, and they all are happy to jump on and help out. And
yeah, we have, and actually the guy that's been mixing, our good friend David Brown, he's been great. We'll send him the demos and he'll just kind of like get a vibe for it. And obviously, like, the home demos that we write, you know, they need more polishing and everything, but he's been real great to work with, because I'll do as much as I can at the apartment, and then I'll get it to a drum guy, you know, someone play drums on it, and then we'll take it in, I'll re-record some of the guitars and the bass, and then pretty much, you know, we just get it as prepared as possible so that she can come in and sing on it. And we have been really lucky to have those people in our lives that are able and willing to connect, and it's comforting.
So The Other Side should be released on March 19th. And I picked that day because it's my dad's birthday. And it's the first song that I've ever released. Not the first song for Mike, but it is the first song that I've ever released. It's the first thing that I've ever been proud of enough to release. So hopefully you enjoy it and maybe you'll play it on your radio station.
I will play it on the radio station. I'm actually looking forward to it from all the stuff that you're saying. How many songs do you guys have approximately right now?
Probably have about 10, five that we're seriously demoing out right now.
Yeah, I would say we have about 10, and then we have really good like acoustic songs. And then I've gotten like the same thing. We were talking the other day about just doing like an acoustic one, because sometimes we'll just play them and we're just like, I don't really know what I'd put to this. Maybe like a shaker or something small, but maybe we should just do, you know, an EP of like acoustic songs that we've written and some duets together that we've written. And aside from the acoustic stuff, there's probably five that we're,
five or six.
Focusing on. We're really trying to focus on. We've got a fair catalog happening.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds great. The stuff that you're saying and bringing the people in, the different musicians and stuff, that's fantastic. I'm really surprised with all the work you've done. I thought you already had recordings already for some reason. I don't know.
Had a ton of demo. I mean,
yeah, we have a lot of demos. And Mike, he's played for a few different musicians like Dave Cavalier, Pete Wild. And then he was in a band called Hyrasonic. So there's definitely recordings of Mike playing bass out there, Spotify, YouTube, all that.
Yeah.
My originals, I've had a lot produced, but I've never put them out.
Yeah, I do remember some of your stuff on Spotify.
Yeah, and then some of those originals I'm actually reworking on with Mike, just because it's like little things. How can we make it more current for where we're at now and less 2010-y when I wrote them, you know?
Or she'll show me song. Like, we have another song that's actually in the process of being mixed called It's You that she wrote. It's beautiful. She had showed it to me once. We were sitting here in the kitchen and I was just, let me just like chart out these notes and, you know, like just tweak a couple things. Like, maybe we'll change this to a minor chord. I think this could work out. And then before we knew it, it's just like, yeah, it really worked out. So that's kind of, that's the next one that's kind of on deck.
There's things I like about it. It's catchy, but it's just not there. And then now I love it. Just with a few little tweaks, it's there. And I wrote that one actually for a few friends that had two different girlfriends that were getting married in the same year. And I wrote it to give them as a wedding gift. And I didn't even give it to them because I didn't end up liking it that much. But now, 6 years later, it's become a song that I'd love to give to someone as like a gift for a wedding or something. A song. And that one has like a Mazzy Star vibe.
Yeah, it does.
For sure.
I keep on wanting to bring this up, but I had to tell you this. I was going to surprise you. and I couldn't find you this day. I was Hollywood and Highland. Depeche Mode was playing this night, and I heard you singing. I don't know if it was in
Hard Rock.
I couldn't find you. I was walking and I by the bowling alley, and I heard your voice.
Yeah. It was at Hard Rock.
Cafe? Yeah, I think so. But I went looking for you, and your voice disappeared.
That's so funny.
I was like, I heard Nikki, and I was like, I don't know where she's at. I came in through the backside. I heard your voice when people came out. It sounded like heaven opened up. And I was like, there's Nikki. And then I went in, but I was going to see Depeche Mode that night. When I heard your voice, I went in there because I was having a drink at this place called Snow White. Snow White is on Hollywood and Highland. It's this little bar, like two doors down from the corner. All the paintings inside are painted of Snow White and the original artist from the Snow White cartoon character.
Oh, wow.
painted all the murals. It has this character-y thing about it. So let's get to the lightning round. You ready?
All right. So,
I'm going to give you guys the lightning round.
I'm not good at lightning round. I'm not very quick.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you guys 7 duets.
Make me look good.
And they're popular duets through time. And you'll tell me if they're in your repertoire or not. You ready? Here it goes. Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille.
No, but it gets requested a lot.
Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Duh. I've had the time of my life.
Get it together. I've had the time of my life.
I've had the time of my life.
Yeah, I have done it a few times, but it's not like a regular in the catalog, but definitely. You know,
played it. Yeah.
I like to pretend that I'm baby in the corner.
Somebody that I used to know.
Yes.
Senorita by Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes.
No, I have not. I've not done that one.
I don't believe I have either.
So Lucky by Jason Mraz and...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And last but not least, If I Close My Eyes Forever by Ozzy Osbourne and Lita Ford.
She doesn't take any of my suggestions.
No.
So no.
And that brings me to the final area. Do you guys have any announcements or plugs besides your new song that's coming out?
One of the main groups I play in, the Flux Capacitors, we're going to be releasing, we've been working behind the scenes. I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's just some video stuff we've been working on that'll be released hopefully within the next few months. The trailer will be put out. I think the trailer might actually already be out. You can find the trailer on Facebook, Flux Capacitors. Yeah, we're excited to, that's going to be, I don't get too much into it, but you can watch the trailer. That's out, and that's something I'm excited, at least outside of what we do, something I'm excited to have put out and released. 2 months ago, I recorded bass for a good friend of mine, Dave Cavalier. He has a new album coming out, and those tracks are really good. So I'm excited for that too.
And where can we find your new music at?
Apple Music,
yeah.
Spotify.
We're doing the photos for the cover. We're actually doing those this week. And the song will be released on all those platforms on March 19th.
Yeah, all the major streaming platforms.
I just want to thank Deeper Steel, Nikki, Benti, and Mike Stang for being on the show. It's been fantastic catching up. It's so much fun. You have been listening to the K-Rock Fan Page Podcast. I am Michael Acciolano. Thank you for listening.
The world famous
K-Rock
Fan Page Podcast.